right. Good afternoon, everyone. Hello. I've always wanted to ride a motorcycle with the kind of windshield, you know, like the vroom vroom, you know. This is better. I can preach with a windshield. So, okay, open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19. We open a new chapter in Luke today. Yeah. Before we begin, I just have a praise report. Yesterday was my son Kyohei's 13th birthday. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm the father of a teenager. Oh boy, Lord help us. Yeah. So, otsukare-sama to my wife, Naomi, for that. Okay, so we're going to read just one of the best stories. I wish every Sunday I could preach a story like this. It's so, so good. And I'll start from verse 1 through 5, and please join me. From verse 6 through 10. Okay, Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, and since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Let's read together. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The very words of our Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, our subject today is, what is it? The gospel is for scumbags. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Scumbag. Yeah. I know many of you are not native English speakers. Actually, most of you are not native English speakers. So let me teach you some English today. Repeat after me. Scumbag. The gospel is for scumbags. The gospel is for scumbags. Amen. So, what is a scumbag? Well, the genge, or the root word, is scum. Yeah, scum is like, it's the substance on the top of water that does not mix with the water. For example, when you are cooking some beef or some meat in a nabe, and it's boiling, and then the aku, it comes to the top, and you have to take it out. That's called scum, okay? That's scum. But then there's another kind. It's dirtier. If you're walking in the forest or the woods, it's a hot day, and you find a puddle of water, or you see a small lake, and you go and you see on top of the water, there's maybe an oil, or maybe there's some green thing, slime, or there's some brown on top of the water. You don't know what it is, but you know you don't want to touch it, right? It's good for nothing. It's useful for nothing. It's called scum. Yeah. So imagine you take all that aku, or you take all of that stuff off of the water, and you put it in a bag. It's a bag full of scum, okay? It's terrible, it smells bad, you don't eat it, you don't use it, you just throw it away. So, in English, when we want to be mean or judgmental, we point our finger and say, "You scumbag," right? Yeah, please don't do that. Okay, you nice Christian people, don't point your finger and say, "Oh, that scumbag politician, that scumbag person." Don't do that. But yeah, the only person you should point to is yourself. All right, scumbag. Oh, yeah, Pastor Chris, that's terrible. It's the truth. Okay. So the gospel is for scumbags. Means the gospel is for bad people, for terrible people. Let me tell you, in the Bible, there is a word for scumbag. The Bible has a word for a scumbag. The word is sinner. You can see it in verse where the people are mumbling. The verse 7, right? The people are mumbling. Oh, he has gone to be the guest of a scumbag, a sinner. In the Bible, the worst sinner, a female woman or a woman who is a sinner, would be a prostitute. A male or a man who was a scumbag or sinner would be a tax collector. In the Old English, it's a publican. So you have the prostitutes, the publicans. And they are the bad kind of sinner. But then Luke, who is the author of this book, has another kind of scumbag. They're not called sinners, they're called Pharisees. There's the prostitutes, the publicans, and the Pharisees. You can also call them the sinners and the saints. And like water and oil, sinners and saints don't mix. The good people don't mix with the bad people, because if they mix with the bad people, they'll become bad. And the bad people don't mix with the good people, because if they mix together, they'd just be judged all the time. But whether they are a saint or a sinner, everybody needs a savior. Everyone needs the Son of God. That's the message of the Bible. Can I tell you something? Most of us here, most of you here, you are not a sinner. You're not a scumbag. You're not a tax collector. You're nice people. But I have a warning. If you are nice people, if you're a saint, Jesus has very little time for you. And I can prove that in the Bible. You see, the problem is nice people or good people don't need Jesus so much. Sinners need Jesus, because sinners know they cannot save themselves. So people like us, we live in Japan, we have money, we live a comfortable life, we can take care of ourselves. But maybe some of you know someone, some of you have a family member or a friend who lives either in this country or another country. They cannot save themselves. They know it. And the good news is Jesus has has come for them. Now, if you know that you cannot save yourself, Jesus has come for you. Let me show you in the Bible. You don't have to go far. You can stay in the book of Luke. If you have your own Bible open, if you have your Bible app open, I want you to go to Luke chapter 3 at the very beginning. Luke chapter 3, near verse 12. Actually, verse 12. It's the story of John the Baptist. This is not even Jesus yet. John is a man who is baptizing people, who are helping people come to God by helping them wash away their sin. And who is coming to John the Baptist to wash away their sins? Look at 3:12, Luke chapter 3, verse 12. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Eh? Teacher, they said, what should we do? Tax collectors were in the beginning of the book. Look at one page over, chapter 5, verse 27. Chapter 5, verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Levi is a man who had another name. Levi is the Jewish name. His Latin name was Matthew. He's the writer of the book of Matthew. He was a tax collector. Look at chapter 7, 3, 5, 7. Chapter 7, verse 29. Verse 29. These are the people coming to Jesus. And here's what it says. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, they followed. Do you see a pattern? Chapter 3. John the Baptist comes, tax collectors. Chapter 5, Jesus called a tax collector named Levi. Chapter 7, the tax collectors were coming to Jesus. Now, go a little bit further in your Bible. Turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners, we're all gathering around to hear Jesus. Whew. Not just the, you see, there's sinners and then there's tax collectors, right? Like there's bad people and then there are very bad people, right? Yeah. And what are they doing? They were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Something about Jesus was so wonderful, not only spiritual people, not only religious and good people coming to Jesus, sinners wanted to come to Jesus. Something about Jesus. Oh God, give me that heart. Give me that give me that ethos. Give me that personality that even bad people are welcome and attracted and comfortable with me. Because not even good people are comfortable with me, right? It's hard to talk to just normal people. But, oh, man, they wanted to hear Jesus. Next chapter, go to chapter 18, verse 10. Jesus loved the sinners. Jesus loved the scumbag so much, he made the sinner the hero of a story. We studied this last month, chapter 18. Jesus tells the story of a Pharisee and a tax collector. Okay? They're praying at the temple. The Pharisee says, oh God, thank you that I'm not a terrible person like this sinner. Okay? And then the tax collector is praying to God, and he says, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says, you know how you know that you are saved? Do you know how you understand that you are a child of God? It's how you use the word sinner. It all depends on how you use sinner. If you point your finger and point to another person and call them a sinner, it's probably, you don't know the loving and saving kindness of God. You probably don't know it because you're looking at others and calling them sinners. But if you're like the tax collector and you point the finger at yourself and you say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You use sinner in reference to yourself. You probably understand the saving kindness and grace of God. That's what Jesus is saying. Chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 15, chapter 18. Luke, the author, is saying to us, Jesus loves scumbags. Jesus is calling the sinner, and the sinners are coming to Jesus. So here is chapter 19, the last chapter in the story of Jesus' ministry. From chapter 19, he goes into Jerusalem, he goes to the cross. And the very last interaction that Jesus has with the general public is the tax. You know what? It's not just a tax collector. What kind of tax collector? Look at verse 2. Not just any tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He was the boss of the tax collector, right? He was like the godfather in the mafia. He didn't get his hands dirty, but the blood of his victims were on his hands. He didn't do the dirty work, but his hands were full of blood. He was the chief tax. That's the worst of the worst, is what he's saying. And so here's Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And he wants to see who, it says he wanted to see who Jesus was. So I used to think maybe he knew Jesus in the past. Maybe he was a friend of Levi because, you know, tax collectors, they're all, right? And, or maybe he went to watch Jesus' sermon somewhere. I don't know, maybe not. But then it says he, in verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. So maybe they've never met. So I think Zacchaeus heard the stories. Zacchaeus listen to his tax collectors, and they are telling him, boss, boss, Zacchaeus, there's this Yeshua from Nazareth. And we love, he welcomes us. He talks to us. He doesn't treat us like scumbags, but he treats us as a human being. He looks at us like we're not the terrible people that everybody says we are. We are terrible people. But when he talks to us, I want to be better. I want to be good. And so maybe, I don't know. This is just my imagination. But maybe Zacchaeus heard the stories, and now Jesus is coming to his city, Jericho, right? And who's walking with Jesus? There was a blind man named Bartimaeus. He healed him just a few moments earlier. That was back in chapter 18. They're all praising God. They're all shouting and screaming, Hosanna, right? And so Zacchaeus, he's a short man. He wants to see. He can't. You know, it's not because he's short that he cannot see Jesus. It says he could not see over the crowd. You see that? He could not see over. It's very simple. I'm tall. I'm 6'4", 191 centimeters. Okay? Now, If somebody who's short wants to see, dozo, I'll let him stand in front of me. It doesn't bother me, right? I could. They come to hear. I don't, you know. I said, okay, don't need you. But if he's a scumbag, a sinner, a chief tax collector, get out of here. You know, right? It was the crowd. That's the problem. There are people who want to know God. The problem is, it's sometimes God's people get in the way. Right? Sometimes, yeah, you can't come here. You don't have the right clothes. You don't have the right hair color. You don't have the right, you know, that's terrible. So I want people to come and you see, I realized something this week. Wherever Jesus was, in any place or any room, Jesus was the most comfortable person in the room. Right? He comes into the room, he comes in, he's just, I'm human, I'm the human. I'm not out of place, I'm here. He could go into Nagarekawa, he could go into a church, he could go into any group of people. He's the most comfortable person. You know what I want? I want this church to be the most comfortable place for any person. That's what I want. I want these doors wide open. And anyone who comes feels, I'm home. God is here. I'm different, but God loves me. I don't want to be in the way. So here's what he does. There's people in front. They won't let him see Jesus. He's a rich man. He has status. He's a chief. He says, I don't care about it. I'm going to climb the tree. Not only that, it says, verse 4, he ran and he climbed. He ran. If you are a man of status and position, you don't run. You don't wait for other people. People wait for you. If you're you're not hurrying. You just take your time. He doesn't care. I want to see Jesus. Forget my status. Forget my position. Forget my power. I want to. So he forgets his position, and he climbs and he runs. So. Jesus calls him. Jesus says, I'm coming. Jesus says, get down. I don't know. See, that's another thing. Jesus knew his name. So does he know his name because he's Jesus, because he knows everybody's name? Or does he know Zacchaeus because they had a conversation? I don't know. So Jesus goes to his house, and it says, I must stay at your house. Verse 5. That means Jesus says, Zacchaeus, we are friends. Because, you know, even in Japanese culture, but even more in the if you come from a traditional culture, old-fashioned culture, if you have somebody in your home to eat and to stay, you're friends. You're connected. They're not just in and out. They're in. They're not going out. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming in. And it's like, wow. You know, there's, I wasn't planning to share this, but there is a, and I don't think you can relate really, but I will try. There's a famous musician. And he's famous all around the world in the music of hip-hop and rap. And he's famous. He lives a very wild lifestyle, very extravagant, you know, parties and women and everything. He married a woman, and she's famous for one reason. She was famous because she was in an adult movie. And instead of everybody saying, oh, you dirty woman, she made that into like a power for her. And she became famous for using her body. So there's this, like a prostitute woman, and then there's this artist, musician. They get married. And 1 year ago, this artist became a Christian. He talks about Jesus. He made a Christian album. He opened a church. There's a pastor. He's not the pastor, but there's a pastor. And he's now going around the world. He calls it Sunday service. He goes to arenas. He goes to big stadiums, and he fills it with people, and they're singing Christian gospel. Same wife, same guy. And the Christians who are in leadership, people like me, we're confused. Lord, this is a scumbag. He married a sinner. You know? And Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. I'm staying in your house. And here's what happens. See, for us, here's why I have a problem. Because it's usually, first, if you're going to become a Christian, you come to church, you study the Bible, you join the community, and you change your life. You become a better person. You reform yourself. You stop the bad habits. You start doing good habits. And then people say, oh, wonderful. Are you ready to get baptized? Do you believe the right things? Yay! Let's get baptized. Let's make you a member. So first you change your life, and then you become a Christian. Jesus made it the opposite. What happened? Did Zacchaeus give his money to the poor, and then Jesus stayed with him? It's the opposite. Jesus came to his house. Zacchaeus is full of joy. It says, verse 6, at once he came down and welcomed him with joy. So now they're at the party, right? They're at the party in his house. And what they're talking about, I don't know. Jesus is, okay, Zacchaeus, now you're my disciple. Now you have to give 10%. Now you have to pray. Now, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. But because Zacchaeus received Jesus into his house, translation, received him into his heart, then he changed. How did he change? It's amazing. This is amazing. This is how you know he's really changed. This is how you know you have received the gospel. This is about salvation. Jesus says, salvation has come to his house. This story is about being saved. This is how you know. 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. There's the story of the rich young ruler. He's a religious leader. It's chapter 18, verse 19 to 35, I think. Right? This is the story of the needle, the camel going through the needle. It's the rich man. He was a religious leader. Right? Jesus says, you want to follow me? Sell everything you have. Sell all of it. Sell everything. Give it to the poor. Then come follow me. He tells the religious person, give everything. And then here's Zacchaeus. Jesus, I'm going to give half of everything. And Jesus says, yeah, it's great. Wonderful. You're saved. You're my disciple. Wait, Jesus, wait. How come you told him he needs to sell everything and you accept only half from Zacchaeus? What's the difference? What's the difference? It's the attitude. Attitude. That rich man, his attitude towards Jesus was, you be my teacher. You be my little rabbi. You be my little counselor. Jesus says, no. I will be your savior first and nothing else. Zacchaeus says, Jesus, you're my savior. Jesus, you're my Lord. See what it says? Verse 8, look, Lord. Zacchaeus made Jesus his Lord. So it doesn't matter how much. You owe Jesus everything. Anything less, it's covered by his grace. But really, he didn't have to give half. See, the rule in Israel is, this is from Exodus and Numbers, if you cheat someone, if you steal or rob somebody, you give back that amount plus one-fifth, right? If you steal $100, what's one-fifth of 100? 20? Okay, I'm a pastor, not a mathematician. So you give back $120, yeah, all right? Zacchaeus, I'm giving back 400, what is it? Four times as much. Jesus, if I stole 100 from him, I'm going to return 400. The rule, the law, is one-fifth. He says, I'm going to give more than that. Why? Because I'm rich. I'm rich. I can give. If I give 10% or if I give one-fifth, that's no sacrifice for me. It makes no difference. But Jesus, you've made so much difference in my life. It doesn't matter. I'll give as much as I can. That's how you know Jesus has changed your life. That's how you know you have the Holy Spirit. When you are willing and ready to give more than what's required of you. That's why I don't talk about a 10% tithe. We don't preach tithing. We preach giving, offering, generosity. 10% is great. That's a good start. That's the base. That's biblical. But the New Testament talks about offering and giving. That's what it talks about. No, tithe. That's a small thing. Here's the best part. Verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Can I tell you right now? This is the central key verse of the whole book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 1 to chapter 24, it's this verse right here. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, Jesus came. It's the story of Jesus' incarnation. We're going to study this in December. Chapter 3 to chapter 19, to seek the lost. Chapter 3 to chapter 19 is Jesus seeking the poor, Jesus seeking the blind, the sick, the lame, the children, the old woman, the orphans, the childless. He's seeking the lepers, the tax collectors, the sinners. He's seeking with miracles. He's seeking with teaching. Chapter 3 to 19, Jesus is seeking the lost. He's gathering the children of Israel. Chapter 19 through 24, it's Jesus saving the lost. How does he save? He climbs the tree. He gives his blood. He dies for our sins. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. He defeats death. He conquers sin. He brings salvation. He saves the lost, of which we belong. That's us. You know what? This is the story of Luke right here, chapter 19, verse 10. That's all of Luke, but you know what? That's also the whole Bible. Yeah. See, every episode of the Bible is one part of the whole story of the whole Bible. Chapter 3 of Genesis, our father and mother, Adam and Eve, representing us. They sin, and God gives them the good news. Chapter 3, verse 15, Genesis. The seed of the woman. I'm going to send the seed of the woman. The serpent will bruise his heel, but he will crush his head. In other words, the serpent, the evil one, will pierce him for our transgressions, will poke him. But that seed of the woman, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will crush Satan's head. That's in Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, God chooses one family, Abraham, and says, Abraham, through your seed, I'm going to bless the nations. Your family will be, I'm going to save the world through your family. Abraham's family becomes a people. That people becomes a nation. That nation becomes an ethnos, a tribe, a people, the Jews. Jesus is the new Jerusalem. Jesus is the new Abraham. Jesus is the greater Israel. Do you see this? And Jesus saves through. That's why in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the theme verse, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. First for the child of Abraham, then for the Gentile. So that's why verse 9, he points to Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, you are not a scumbag. You are a child of God. You are a child of the family of Abraham. You trusted God by trusting me, and God has welcomed you into his family. You are a child of Abraham. You go beyond and above what you're required to give in Abraham's family. You're required to give 10%. You're required to give back 1/5. You gave back 4 times. You are a real child of Abraham. The whole Bible is right here in this episode. I love it. I love it. Oh, I love the songs we sang today. Every single one. Every single one. I want to invite you to look at the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is the whole key. You see, how does Zacchaeus get saved? It's the same way we get saved. It says in Galatians, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. By being put on the tree, it's the tree of death. Do you understand? It's the tree of death. And Jesus says to us, you get down from the tree because I'm going to climb that tree. Zacchaeus, get down from the tree because I'm about to go up to the tree of death and take it for you. I'm going to take the tree in. I'm going to take the curse on myself. That's what Jesus is pointing to. That's what this story is about. It's about Jesus Christ saving the lost by sacrificing his body on the cross. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Lord, look, you have saved this sinner. Lord, you have had mercy and you have shown grace. Thank you so much. We praise you. We love you.
we worship you, we honor you, we glorify your good and great and wonderful name. You are so good, and we could sing of your love forever. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. I am a Zacchaeus. We are a Zacchaeus. We thank you for the tree that you died on, so that now we can have the tree of life. The tree of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Yeah. It is in your name that we praise and pray. Amen.